I call this meeting of the Senate Transportation Committee to order. The date is February 3, 2011. The time is 1 p.m. in the afternoon. I'm Senator Joe Thomas, and at the request of Senator Kukesh, I will be chairing today's meeting. We'll begin with with me today are Senator Egan and Senator Huggins, and Senator Menard should be along directly. We will begin with DOT Commissioner Mark Lucan and the Deputy Director of Department of Revenue Tax Division, Joanna Bales, is my understanding anyhow, explaining the governor's bill and addressing any questions we might have. We will not be taking public testimony today as it is not my intention to pass the bill out today. Senators Egan and Menard, if Senator Menard does arrive, which I understand she will, must leave at 1:30 p.m. in order to attend another meeting, Labor and Commerce. Therefore, it would be helpful if we could complete the general overview of the bill by that time. Commissioner Lucan and Ms. Bales, either one of you may lead off, and please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
For the record, Mark Lucan, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Mr. Chairman and Senators, thank you for this opportunity to testify before you today on Senate Bill number 41. I'm going to just have some brief remarks, and then we'll take some questions afterwards. And I'll just give you an overview.
Sure.
Is what we plan to do. The tax suspension is one of the efforts the governor is putting forward to improve the economic health of Alaskans. Suspension of the motor fuel tax will provide immediate tax relief to every citizen in every community across our state. The actual amount of money saved will vary depending on the type of fuel purchased, but most consumers should save up to 8 cents per gallon when fueling their vehicle, boat, or plane. Many Alaskan communities deal with the highest energy costs in the nation. Relieving the burden of motor fuel tax is one step in this administration's effort to improve Alaskans' daily living expenses. Suspending the motor fuel tax provides a temporary reduction in the cost of motor fuel. Efforts are being made to introduce to provide long-term solutions to our high energy costs. Some may wonder how suspending the motor fuel tax will impact Alaska's federal funding for transportation. In fact, a state motor fuel tax has no direct link to federal dollars. Therefore, suspending the motor fuel tax will have no impact on Alaska's federal highway or airport funding. Additionally, Alaskans fund significantly more for transportation than is collected in a state motor fuel tax revenues. In fiscal year 12, $328.5 million is set aside for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities operating budget, and another $117 million will supplement the capital budget from general fund dollars. That's 11.5 times more than is collected in motor fuel tax. Federal fuel tax, also paid at the pump, contributes to the Federal Highway Trust Fund. These funds are then redistributed back to the states via formulas set forth in the federal bills related to highways and airport improvement. Those formulas have nothing to do with whether a state collects a separate motor fuel tax, as there is no federal government requirement for states to collect a gas tax or to support transportation. Will my Congress retaliate against Alaska for suspending the motor fuel tax? It's unlikely. There are several examples of states that have suspended their motor fuel tax just prior to the most recent federal surface transportation bill. Safety Lou went into effect in 2005. Those states actually saw an increase in their federal highway aid. Additionally, some may be concerned about how suspending the motor fuel tax might impact the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities operating and capital budgets. There may be fear losing this revenue may equate to a respective decrement in our budget. Well, let me talk about the capital budget first. 76% of our capital budget comes from federal receipts. I just addressed that issue. The remaining 24% comes from state general funds and other sources like the International Airport System receipts and bonds, ADA dividend funds, and highway working capital funds for our state equipment fleet. The general funds in the capital budget come from the same source that funds 56% of our operating budget, the general fund. And that is what it is, a general fund. No direct link to the tax revenue taken in by the state motor fuel tax and the Department of Transportation's budget. Therefore, one cannot make a link between motor fuel tax revenue and our budget. The suspension of the motor fuel tax in 2008 did not impact DOT's budget then, and suspending it now will not impact our budget in 2012. Suspension of the motor fuel tax will significantly impact Alaska's economy. It will certainly benefit many of our largest industries. Alaska's largest private employer, the fishing industry, will benefit significantly from this suspension. United Fishermen of Alaska indicated a suspension of the tax in 2008 would likely provide some benefit to thousands of commercial fishermen statewide. Trucking and aviation industries and the consumers that buy the goods that those entities deliver will also profit. In fact, we've received letters of support from the Alaska Air Carriers Association indicating economic benefits suspension of the gas tax would have on hundreds of our rural commercial air carriers. Additionally, Alaska Airlines has indicated they will provide a letter of support for this effort. The bottom line, there is no compelling need to collect a motor fuel tax at this time. While suspension of the tax will benefit every Alaskan in every community, while some may gain more than others, it will be meaningful to all as we put this money back into Alaskans' pockets. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And Joanna, Ms. Bales, do you have something to add?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Joanna Bales. I'm the Deputy Director of the Tax Division. And I'd just like to clarify a few points that were made by the Commissioner. The first thing is he's correct as far as our federal highway dollars are not affected by the fact that we don't have a tax. However, we are still required to report to Federal Highway the amount of highway use gasoline in the state. And if you look at the way the language in this bill is set up, reporting from the distributors would still be required. And so we are ensuring that there won't be any effect on highway funding. And the other thing I'd like to point out is, as the Commissioner stated, this does help all Alaskans, including bush communities, even though in those communities they don't pay the 8-cent highway, they do pay a 5-cent tax on fuel used in watercraft and off-highway as well. So there will be savings all around the state.
Any other comments?
No, that's our input.
Do we have questions? Senator Huggins.
Chairman, just a comment. I know my constituents, a significant number of them have high expectations of the commissioner, and I've assured them thus far I am really, really pleased with the potential I see. And I told the commissioner earlier today that it was my intent to do everything I could to make him as successful as possible by anything I might do, and I just thank him for coming today and representing the professional presence he has, and we're excited about working with you in the future.
The Chair, thank you. Senator.
We do have, and I'm not sure if he's on the line to testify or not, Ed Sniffen from the Department of Law. I don't know if there was a question that you wanted covered or if somebody else had requested, since I'm not the normal chairman of the committee, so I don't know if Mr. Sniffen is online anyhow, and I believe was asked by someone to testify, so I guess I would make that opportunity available for him if, in fact, he is online.
Yes, so Mr. Chairman, this is Ed Sniffen. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yes, thank you. For the record, my name is Ed Sniffen, Assistant Attorney General with the Department of Law in Anchorage. I am responsible for enforcing Alaska's consumer protection and antitrust statutes, and I have conducted a few retail gasoline pricing investigations on behalf of the Department of Law over the last several years. And I wanted to just provide some brief comments and some observations about the gasoline tax when it was suspended in 2008, and also report on some communications we had with gasoline station retailers this week on whether or not they thought the 8-cent tax would in fact that savings would be passed on to consumers. In 2008, when the gas tax was suspended, we monitored the markets in Anchorage and Fairbanks and Juneau. We noticed fairly quickly that prices did drop by 8 cents fairly quickly. Over time, gasoline prices are subject to market forces, and it was impossible for us to monitor whether those amounts were eventually, you know, included back into the price of fuel. But we know it did have a positive impact on consumers immediately. Our communications with several retail gasoline station owners this week suggest that the same would happen again. We spoke with four gas stations in Fairbanks and eight stations here in Anchorage, and the majority of them indicated that they believed that the suspension of the tax would result in an immediate 8-cent savings. And there were a couple of stations who were independent retailers who said essentially their prices follow the prices on the signs of the gas stations down the street. So if those prices started to drop, they would be compelled to also drop their prices to remain competitive. So we believe that the suspension does have a positive impact on consumers. They do realize that savings. It's an item of overhead that is taken out of the equation when gasoline retailers decide to set their prices, and we would encourage support of the bill. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the committee has.
Thank you for your testimony. Just one question that I would have, I guess, initially is, did you glean anything from those retailers that you had not expected they would tell you? Did you? We would assume that the 8 cents, since it's a suspension of a tax, that it would have an immediate effect, or else there would be some concern that something was going on.
Through the chair, there was one comment that I didn't expect that I got from a retailer actually in Fairbanks. His comment was essentially, well, I have to fill up my tanks with fuel, and I pay the price to fill them up, and if I had to pay, you know, a tax on fuel of my tanks when I fill them up, I'm not going to change my price until that fuel is gone. And then when we asked him, well, what would happen if the guy down the street lowered his price, he had to admit that, well, he wouldn't want to, but reluctantly he probably would have to lower his prices to stay competitive. But there may be some pockets of independent retailers out there who, you know, won't be swayed by this tax suspension initially, but I think in the competitive markets anyway in Alaska, they would have to follow suit.
And I realize that it's difficult to track that because, like you said, immediately there's a reduction because obviously it's mandated, and people's different fuel supplies run out at different times, so that impacts how immediate that may be and how that stretches out. But, you know, generally the cost of gas is relatively stable in Fairbanks. It jumps around a little bit. But realistically, at that time, and I didn't take a poll, nor did I do anything other than pay attention to when it was suspended. And it seemed to me that there was a reduction, but it was a short-lived reduction. And so, like I said, no technical study on what other things might have impacted that to cause that to change in a fairly short period of time. But that is a concern, and I appreciate your situation having participated in those investigations as the complaints were made about the cost of fuel. And I think basically it was a function of competition and what the fuel costs to obviously the independent service station or the chain service station or whatever. It does seem odd, though, in some respects that we have Safeway and Sam's Club and those that give discounts based on the amount of business that's done in a grocery store related to that. I guess there's enough opportunity there, and they've got that figured out, how they can knock the price of the fuel down. And that, I'm sure, in at least Fairbanks, I know, has an impact on the independent who doesn't have that other source of income to rely on. But I appreciate your testimony, and I don't know if any other members of the committee have any questions for you or not. Seeing none, maybe if you stay online, if you're available for another 15 minutes, that's about how long we're going to run the meeting today. That might be helpful in case something occurs to somebody.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, just a couple of questions that you may not care to answer now and may bring back to the committee at a later date. You know, you and I had a conversation earlier and just the impact that it has on the individual consumer when we try and go through and look at how many miles you drive a year and how many miles per gallon you get on your particular vehicle and how much money that sorts out into the end. And it didn't do it as it relates to marine fuel or aviation fuel. and I have another separate question regarding those. But the concept of even somebody that drives 30,000 miles in a year, which is an extreme amount of mileage. I don't know what the people from the valley driving in on an annual basis for their work in Anchorage and back and forth. What I just looked at that compared to what I drive, and then doubled it and then tripled it actually, just to see what potentially that would be. And that 30,000 miles at 15 miles per gallon is an annual savings if the 8 cents were kept stagnant or consistent, is $160, and that divided into, say, a monthly average, so you can make a more practical look at the money, is about $13, so about $13 a month if you are driving 30,000 miles and have a vehicle that only gets 15 miles to the gallon. If you're driving that same number of miles and have a car that gets 25 miles to the gallon, that's $96 a year, or about $8 a month. And I realize $8 is $8, but that also brought me back to the conversation of the other day about Kubota and the bridge, and they're going to charge you $5 each way. And I thought, how does that even flow into this thought? Probably in some people's minds it does not. Kubota's, it probably doesn't flow into their mind to think about it. But if you're looking at money and whether it's real money or what impact it has. But that's just more a statement. I guess the question is if you could explain a little bit how the fuel tax, particularly the aviation fuel tax, flows into the small communities, airports, and the municipally run ones. There is a carve-out, I believe, of some sense, and probably, Ms. Bales, you may be more prepared to do that.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm trying to, can you clarify your question? You're trying to find out whether or not how the savings would be passed along to consumers for aviation and jet fuel?
Well, I thought there was a couple of cents that went towards the running of those airports that was not necessarily designated, but is understood that that's where it goes, is the operation of those airports. So,
Mr. Chairman, what we have revenue sharing for the aviation fuel of 60% of what we collect goes to municipally owned or operated airports, and that comes out to about $140,000 each year that we share with those airports. And we have asked the governor to provide an appropriation to those communities from the general fund, and since we will still get the reporting, we will know how much revenue sharing they would have received, except for the fact that the fuel tax was suspended. And we have been assured by the governor that he does support that appropriation.
Are there any other uses of the money that are designated in similar fashion for any particular use, any of the aviation or any other aviation or marine fuels?
Mr. Chairman, no, that is the only revenue sharing that happens with the motor fuel tax. The rest of it is deposited directly to the general fund.
Okay. And since you're the expert in this field, can you give us a breakdown of the three categories of the taxation as it's collected, the motor fuels, the aviation, and the marine?
Yes. The highway tax is 8 cents a gallon, marine is 5 cents, aviation is 4.7 cents, and then jet fuel is 3.2 cents. For the tax year 2010, we received approximately $23.4 million for highway, $2 million for marine fuel, $2.9 million for jet fuel, and aviation gasoline was approximately $337,000.
So by far the majority of it, repeat those numbers again. And Senator Menard has joined us today.
The majority of what we collect is the highway fuel, which
the
is
highway fuel.
Yeah. 2010 is kind of a strange year because we did have 2 months of the previous suspension in those numbers. So normally it's about $30 million that we collect in highway use tax.
And that highway use tax, is that for all highway uses regardless? So commercial trucks, whatever, are in bulked into that?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it is for every vehicle that is licensed for highway use. Mm-hmm.
And diesel is the same tax rate
Yes.
as for motor fuels.
Our tax rates are based on use, not on type of fuel.
Okay. Other questions? Let me see what else I had. I must have something else. You guys off that easily here.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Senator Huggins.
Thank you. Just for clarification, home heating oil falls into a different category. Could we just get that on the record?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Huggins, home heating fuel is not taxed. It's exempt from both the state and federal tax.
Thank you.
And are you looking at the revenue source book? Is that what book you're looking at, or is that some production of yours? Or is that...
I'm looking at our annual report, which is available currently.
And it's not broken down as you listed in the revenue source book, the fall 2010, that would not have that detail as that.
This detail comes from the annual report, which I can provide copies to everyone here.
That would be helpful, mm-hmm. I think, for okay. all of the folks. If you could provide that would be greatly appreciated. Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have you a handle on how many other states have suspended this tax, and if so, if the answer, and have they had to make it up with another form of tax to make up that lost revenue?
Through the chair, Senator Menard, to my knowledge, there have only been two other states, Illinois being one of them, that has suspended the tax in the past. Most of the other states do have dedicated highway funds, so I'm assuming that they would have had to pull money from their general fund to cover that, but I don't have a hard data on that right now.
And I apologize.
Continue.
May I have another question?
Certainly.
I apologize if this has already been answered and I was tardy in getting here to my seat. But what does our delegation in Washington, D.C., what have they told us, or the federal lawmakers, if we are they going to be like reluctant to send money our way? And that's a question I'm hearing from my constituents, and that concerns me as well. And if I'm like I said, you've already don't just spend just a short clip on that if you've already answered it.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Menard, we did actually discuss that at the beginning of the meeting. Our federal highway funding is not based in any way, shape, or form on whether or not we have a tax. We are, however, required to provide data about highway use of gasoline in our state. So this legislation, although it suspends the tax, does require our distributors to continue to report so that we can report to federal highway. And I don't know if...
Certainly, please.
I what I'm trying to get, it has the perception, we're here... We have money in the bank, and it's no new news to all the states. Texas, there's a few of us that we're not in a deficit budget. But, and so I'm just wondering, perception-wise, you know, we're still getting, sometimes it's just how we're perceived, and especially in Congress, it's not 60 legislators that move things. It's a lot more public officials. So do you see what I'm getting?
Through the chair, Senator Menard, I think that the point to make is that we still, as a state, pay federal fuel tax, federal motor fuel tax. That federal motor fuel tax goes back into the Surface Transportation Fund, and that is the portion then that is redistributed back to the states. And so there really isn't a link between state fuel tax collected and whether or not we receive federal funds. And I think that's the point, because we are supplying our portion of the federal tax back into the Surface Transportation Fund.
Certainly. Please do.
So you can see that my public perception piece is huge. And so then I'm wondering, are you doing some public awareness, or maybe in your DOT newsletter, and correct what most people are thinking out there, is this being a negative? This certainly rides high as part of the overall. You need to, in my view, get that message out there. That and has there been any steps to take to do some corrections on these misunderstood?
Through the chair, Senator Menard, this is my first opportunity to do that, but that is a very good idea.
And if I may, through the chair, Senator Menard, as he explained, everyone in this state, when they buy fuel, they pay the 18.9 cent federal fuel tax. And so basically the formula that's used by Federal Highway gives us that money back to be used for transportation projects in our state. So our state tax is supposed to supplement what Alaskans have already paid. I mean, it isn't like the federal government is just giving us money. It's the federal government is giving the state consumers their money back for transportation projects.
Do you, it might be helpful, I don't know that formula, how what that is, mm-hmm. but if that's a simple formula, that might be helpful for us to see that information, I don't know.
Well, in a simplified method, it basically is, we provide the number of gallons of highway use gasoline to the feds. Every other state does the same, and they take the amount that we have, divide it by the total amount used in the U.S., and then multiply that by the amount of fuel tax that they receive, and then distribute that back to the states. So it basically is just an allocation of our tax that each individual paid back to us.
You state that formula one more time. We send them 18.9 cents and they...
Right, so they take a look at the total universe of what tax that they've collected, federal highway tax that's in the gasoline, and then they allocate it to us based on the percentage that we collected as compared to what's collected in the entire U.S. So if we collected, I don't know what we would be because we have such a small population, but 1/50th, then they would provide us 1/50th of the total highway tax that they collected back to roads in our state.
Certainly. Go ahead. Senator Menard.
You know, you can tell my concern, and I love to pioneer new ideas just like many of my colleagues here, but I just feel if that equation was so great, why haven't other states really, and there are states, and I mentioned, you know, North Dakota, different ones that could be on this same train of thought here. So I just have all kinds of questions. I want to support the governor. But I'm trying to do a hard study, and like I said, out in the public, it's what people perceive, and unless you can dispel some of very, very good reasons, you know, I question it when Governor Palin removed that, and so I want to be supportive, but right. I want to be sold on it too, I guess. Thank you.
I have to say, thank you, Senator Menard. I have to say, too, that I have had the same concerns, and I do know that at least one of our congressional delegation has expressed concerns repeatedly about that, so I just remind you of that. And if you would run down the numbers again, you're going to send them to us, but I was just curious, the $30 million, or approximately, it was 28, but it was $30 million is the general rule of thumb for revenue on highway taxes. The others were again?
Right. And like I said, right now I'm looking at 2010, which we did have 2 months of the previous suspension. So it was the actual collections for highway were 23, and it's approximately $30 billion if we collected the tax for the entire year. The marine fuel, $2 million, and that's probably closer to $2.5 million if we'd had the tax in effect. About $3 million for jet fuel, and I would guess maybe another like $3.5 million. And aviation gasoline was $337,000. On average, we collect a total of about $40 million each year when the tax is fully in effect. And if I could just make one other just brief comment on the question that you had.
Sure,
and I think, you know, as far as perception goes, I understand it to a certain extent. But the other thing is, it isn't as if we are taking $40 million, or well, the $30 million for highways, and saying, well, we're just going to let the feds, you know, pay that now, and we're not going to worry about it. As the commissioner stated previously, we will continue to fund highway projects in the state from other general fund money. So the fuel tax goes into the general fund. And so when we do pay for highways, it comes from the general fund. It's just that we will take that money from some other tax revenue or revenue that we receive.
Thank you very much. We'll just take that from the oil industry, I guess. That's where the 90% of the other revenue comes from. Right. So, and I understand that both Senators Menard and Egan have to leave at 1:30. Is that your plan? Yeah. Not that we're rushing you out. Okay. Well, we'll just see if there are any other questions, because that's basically what we had intended to do today. We've completed that, and that was our purpose for today, especially with the limited number of people on the committee that were going to be here, and Senator Kukesh, the chairman, not being here. So do you have any other questions?
I do not.
Okay. Senator Huggins, anything else? If not, then I will call the meeting or close the meeting at approximately 1:30, and we thank you for your attendance and participation.
Thank you.